Matthew chapter number 5, we're going to continue with the thought of how to have a happy life or a blessed life, and God gives us some good formulas, if you will, in His Word about how to have a blessed life, and it is not the same formula as you'll get from the world. And the world will give you the formula to be financially successful, it will give you a happy life, the world will give you the formula of success in other areas of your life, whether it be politically or just in your community or whatever, in society. That will give you a happy life, but I don't know about you, but I know some people that seem to have everything, but they are about the most miserable people in the world to be around. And then I know some that don't seem to have much of anything, but they're always happy and they're always blessing the Lord and just seem like they have joy in their heart. But as we get into the scripture tonight, we're going to look at something that is sort of maybe tough for us at times, and maybe sometimes I know that I probably fail at this. I know that there's times in my life when I'm not very good at what we're going to talk about tonight. And then there's times when it seems like we are, as Christians, we're expected to go overboard with this attribute as far as the world is concerned. But let's get into this so I don't preach before we read. Matthew chapter number 5, let's begin reading with verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We talked about being meek, about being humble, about esteeming others higher than ourselves. Verse number 4, Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Last week we talked about thirsting after righteousness and where are our priorities at and what do we really desire for our life. Verse number 7, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Tonight, for just a few minutes, I want us to look at another way or another attribute in our life that we need to have in order to be happy, in order to have a blessed life and a Christian and a godly life. And that is in verse number 7, look what it says, Blessed are the merciful. Verse 8, Blessed are the pure in heart. Verse 9, Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, the way that we react, the way that we respond, and the way that we interact with other people around us have a whole lot to do with how that we feel on the inside and whether we feel blessed, whether we feel happy, whether we feel successful in our life. There are times in my life when I feel like I do a pretty good job about interacting with the people around me and looking over people. And, you know, sometimes we get to the place where we don't understand why people do the way that they do. But in most situations, those people are lost. And if it were not for the grace of God, we would do the very same thing that they are doing. And we have to back up and understand that sometimes. But here in verse number 7, the Bible says, Blessed are the merciful. And the only way that we can show mercy to other people is to have experienced mercy in our own life. I know without a doubt, each and every one of you that are here tonight and have been saved by the grace of God, you have experienced mercy. You have experienced the purest, most righteous form of mercy that there could possibly be. You have received mercy and you have experienced it. I want to give you the definition that I looked up for mercy. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. In other words, it's a time when maybe you didn't deserve mercy or you didn't deserve forgiveness and someone over you could have harmed you with what you were guilty of. And the best example I can think of that is the night that I realized that I had sin in my life and I needed to be saved and I needed forgiveness of my sin, and I received mercy from a God that could have judged me. I received mercy from a God that had every right in the world to condemn me to hell right there. He didn't owe me anything, but I received mercy from a God that had power over me, but yet He had compassion or love. He had unmerited favor to me, that He had mercy on my life and He forgave me of my sins, that He looked at me and He said, I'm going to forgive you even though you're going to continue to mess up and even though you're going to continue to fall. I love you so much that I'm going to forgive you. And He gave me mercy that I didn't deserve. Now, sometimes I wonder if we have that same kind of mercy, because the Bible says, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Well, the only way that you can be merciful, I'm full of mercy tonight because Jesus Christ saved my soul. That I have experienced that mercy, and that should give me mercy toward other people. But yet, sometimes I am completely the opposite. I am judgmental. I want to throw stones. If somebody wrongs me, I want to hold a grudge. Y'all don't do that, I know, but I do. But we get to the place where we go, hey, has anybody ever said this? I'm going to forgive you, but I ain't going to forget it. Well, you hadn't really got to the place where you're going to forgive it yet. Because, no, you may not really be able to forget it, because our mind is a powerful thing. And when somebody wrongs you, it is hard to forget it. But if you're to the place that you're going to still say and remind yourself that you're not going to forget it, I'm not sure that you have forgiven it yet. And I mean, I'm in the same boat in my life in other times. But look here, and look at this example of mercy that was given to us in the Bible. Think about this example. When the Pharisees came, and man, these were some religious leaders in the town, and here they come dragging a woman from a house. Here they come dragging her down the street, and they bring her to Jesus. And they knew that Moses' law said, see, they had caught her in the very act of adultery. They had caught her in the very act of adultery. And Moses' law said that she should be stoned for that. So they were actually trying to test Jesus in this, and they come dragging her to Jesus. And as they drag her to Jesus, and as she knows that she is guilty, as the Pharisees know that she's guilty, and Jesus knows that she's guilty. And they come and they say, now, Master, what are you going to do? Are we going to abide by the law? Moses' law says that we should stone her. And we know how the Bible says that Jesus began to write something in the dirt, and he looked up at the Pharisees, and he said, ye without sin cast the first stone. Well, see, all of those guys that were there, they all had sin. They all had something in their own life. And just as you and I do, and just as everybody except for Jesus Christ that has walked on this earth, we have sin in our life. All of those guys had sin in their life. So they had to turn and walk away. But yet Jesus was still there. And here's where the mercy part really comes in. See, Jesus just kind of called those guys out right there. That didn't really show a ton of mercy. But right here's where a ton of mercy came in. When he looked at her and he said, neither do I condemn thee. Because he had the right. He was perfect. He had no sin. He could have looked at her and said, now you deserve to die because you have broken Moses' law. And because I am perfect, I am able to condemn you. I am able to pass that judgment on you. But yet he looked at her and said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. But how many times in our life do people come to us, and maybe they've wronged us, maybe they've done something wrong, and yet instead of looking at them and going, God, help me to have mercy. God, help me to have forgiveness. See, sometimes we get a thrill. I don't know what it is, but I'm not a psychologist. I barely passed sociology in college. So I don't know how the human psyche really works that well. But there is something emotionally in us that gets a kick sometimes out of being angry with someone or out of thinking that we're right and they're wrong. There is something that on the inside of us, I think that's kind of where the Bible talks about being puffed up. We can get puffed up with that. And we can get swollen up saying, okay, now I'm better than you because you've wronged me. And I know it's hard when people wrong you, especially when they wrong your family. You know, you can wrong me a long ways, and I can be okay. But you mess with all of them or my three babies, and I get, my flesh wants to come out very quickly. And a lot of you mothers are even worse than us papas. You don't mess with the babies. But we get to the place to where we forget what mercy is. We forget how that mercy is supposed to work. And the Bible tells us to be merciful, because you know what happens? If we get to where we're harboring that on the inside of us, hey, am I the only one that's ever held a grudge against somebody? Okay. Am I the only one that somebody's ever wronged? And I look at them, and let's just be honest, we want to look at them and say, I hope I never see that person again. I won't talk to them. I don't want, and sometimes that may be best for a little while, but there is a time and a place where you have to have mercy on that person, and you have to have a place in your heart where you go, okay, they may not want my forgiveness, they might not ever ask for my forgiveness, but for my own spiritual health, for my own happiness, I'm going to have to let this go. I'm going to have to get over this. I'm going to have to get to a place where this doesn't eat me like a canker. I'm going to have to get to the place where I can finally say, and you say, well, preacher, I don't like this tonight. And I don't either. Because when somebody wrongs me, instead of having mercy, I really want to get even. My flesh wants to get even. I want to make them hurt just the same way they made me hurt. You say, well, give us an example. Okay, when you get in an argument with your wife, or when you get in an argument with your husband, it always kind of starts over something really stupid, don't it? Really stupid. Not even worth fussing about. But the next thing you know, one of you's hurt the other one's feelings, so the other one's got to top that. And I don't know whether you do or not, but I know how to push Autumn's buttons. I know exactly what to say to set her off. And she knows exactly how to set me off. Again, y'all are holy and y'all don't do that. But from time to time, we got to keep life interesting in my house and we have to have a disagreement. A very gracious, merciful disagreement is what we have at our house. Amen. And if we're not careful, we'll let that thing grow and fester. And instead of looking at your spouse and saying, you know what, this is stupid. Just the other day, Autumn and I had a little something come up, and she told me something, and she was right. She's not here tonight, so I'll admit that. Cut the Facebook off. So she was right. And when I left, I had argued with her, just back and forth that I was right and she was wrong. And then I got in the car, and I was like, oh, man, she was right. And I could have just went on my day, and that's really what I wanted to do. But instead, I picked up my phone, and I said, honey, you was right, but I got to go. I'm busy. I didn't want to hear nothing behind it. It's so hard to admit when we're wrong. So, like, even when Autumn and I, we get in a little bit of a disagreement, I let that thing fester, and I let it go on for a day or two, which is unbiblical. The Bible says not to let the sun go down upon your wrath. Okay, so I let that thing fester, and I let it grow. And the next thing you know, there's thoughts that come into my mind and feelings that come into my heart that has absolutely nothing to do with that situation, but it's being fed by my flesh. It's being fed by the devil, if you just want to get down to it. And where instead, if I would have just a little bit of mercy, see, I'll have mercy with some people, and then there's some people I won't. But if I'd have just a little bit of mercy and go, you know what? She's probably had a bad day. She's been here cleaning up after me all day. She's probably got 14 bags of trash, because y'all have told y'all how I go by the trash can and don't see them. And then I come in, and I catch the brunt of it, and if I just go, you know what? No big deal. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to have a little mercy. We go right on our way. Everything be fine. But instead, when she says something about the trash, I say, well, you've been here all day. Why can't you take the trash out? I say that like she's been sitting there all day, and I know good and well she hadn't. So I'm trying to get a response. I'm pretty successful with that sometimes. But instead of having mercy, we want to jump back. Now look, what happens then is I get to the place to where I'm miserable, I'm mad, I'm upset, and it's not just my wife, it can be with customers, it can be with people at church, it can be with all kinds of situations in our life, but we let that stuff grow and fester on the inside to where if we would just have mercy, we could go on and be happy. Let's look at one right here. Let's look in Matthew chapter 18. I know I gave you the other scripture first, but let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verse number 24. Oh, that went the wrong way. Matthew 18, begin reading with verse number 24. It said, and when he had begun to reckon, let's back up a couple of verses here. I didn't write down enough verses. Verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now look, this king is going through his books. He's seeing who owes him. He's getting ready to send out invoices, and he's gonna see who owes him. And he finds one who owes him 10,000 talents. And now the footnote in my Bible said that that would be millions of dollars is what that's equivalent to. So verse number 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, so the servant didn't have the money to pay him back, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. Now, he was correct in doing this. This guy owed him the money, didn't have the money. So the king said, okay, I'm going to sell you into slavery. I'm going to sell your wife and your children. That's how I'm going to get my repayment. Verse number 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Look at the mercy that this king had. Now, my Bible, the footnote says it was the equivalent of millions of dollars, and he owes him all this money, and because the guy asked for mercy, because the guy said, forgive me, I don't have it. I'm sorry, I can't pay you back. The Bible says that the king had compassion, loosed him, let him go, and forgave him the debt. He didn't let him go and say, now you pay me when you can. He just said, I forgive you the debt. You're no longer responsible for it. So that guy received a ton of mercy. Kind of reminds me of the night that I got saved. I received a ton of mercy. Verse number 28, let's continue reading and see where this servant went. So, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. My Bible gives that a footnote of about $10. He says he found a man that owed him $10 or 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now listen, when he went to beg for mercy, they knew that there was no way that he was going to be able to pay that debt, and his Lord forgave him. And now this guy that owes him $10, he says, I will pay you. Just have a little, give me just a little leeway, and I will pay you. Verse number 31, so when his fellow servant, and when he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. This guy that just had all of this mercy showed to him, he owed 10,000 talents, goes out, right after he's forgiven of his debt, he goes out, and when somebody crosses him, they owe him 10 bucks. And he says, I don't care. I ain't having mercy on you. Forget you. I don't care if you got it or not. Here's what I'm going to do. Verse 30, he says, he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after all had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him unto his tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Ain't it amazing how we will take what God give us in the form of mercy, knowing that we don't deserve mercy, knowing that we're going to continue to fall and fail even at the very best we can do, but we'll say, God, thank you for having so much mercy on me. God, I didn't deserve it, but you're so good to me, and I accept your mercy. And then as soon as somebody crosses us, we'll grab, look, the Bible says he grabbed him by the throat, threw him into prison, and said, you stay there until you can pay me my $10 back. Now, wait a minute. When we say that we're Christians, we're saying that we're trying to be Christ-like. What part of holding grudges, not forgiving, now I'm not saying this stuff's easy, and I'm not saying we're supposed to lay down and let people run over us. We went through that last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago. We're not supposed to be little weaklings. But I'm going to tell you, if you harbor those hard feelings in your heart, it will kill you as a Christian. It will absolutely destroy you. You can't be happy because you're still holding a grudge against somebody else. And some of you have a good reason to hold a grudge against somebody. Some of you have a good, these things that's happened in your life, and they couldn't nobody in the world say anything to you about holding a grudge because it is completely reasonable for you to hold a grudge. But you know what? It's completely reasonable for God to condemn me to hell, but he didn't. He had mercy on me. And we should look at our lives and go, okay, if I really want to be happy, if I really want to be blessed, I'm going to have to be merciful. I'm going to have to look over sometimes some people's faults. I'm going to have to look, and when somebody says something to me and it don't hit me just right, Autumn's up there about to kill a basketball coach tonight. She said, I don't know why we come all the way to Floyd County if the coach don't want to win. It does not make sense. I mean, I called her on the way to church, and I finally just had to say, I got to go, honey. You're killing my thoughts from a message tonight. She's going to kill a basketball coach up there tonight. It's actually the reason I'm keeping my phone close to me in case I have to go to Floyd County and get her out of jail here in a little bit. But there's some things in our life you just have to look and go, look, this is not worth me getting tore up over. This is not worth me getting upset over. That person probably didn't even mean to cross me. Sometimes they do. And you know what? Sometimes they're never going to ask for forgiveness, but we're going to have to forgive them anyway. We're going to have to let it go. We're just going to have to say, you know what? This is not worth me being a miserable person. This is not worth me having something in my heart that's keeping me from living the life that God wants me to live. Let's turn now to Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. So Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. They don't need a lot of explanation. Now, I don't have to stand here and try to explain what that means. It's pretty self-explanatory scripture. No, it's not talking about getting lost and saved and God not forgive. But I'm telling you, if we get to the place, we will get so bent out of shape with God, we'll get in a place that we're miserable as a Christian. Some of you have experienced it. Some of you have had somebody cross you, and you have lived in torment for years holding a grudge against them. I ain't going to say that I've been for years, but there have been people that have crossed me and my family, and even now, and I've tried my best to have mercy and let it go, but even now, when I see them in Walmart, boy, I hit the toy aisle or something. I do something different because I just seem to not speak to them. And I will say that there are probably some people that it's better off, you're better off not to interact with because you might go even deeper than what you need to be. But what about in here? Can you lay down at night and go, you know what? That don't bother me. I'm done with that. I'm not going to let that kill me as a Christian. I'm not going to let that get me in a place with my Christian walk that I can't influence people, that I can't give God glory, that I can't point others to the cross. Because if you think that you're the only one that's ever been crossed, you're wrong. Probably everybody in this congregation at some time or the other, family has crossed you. Hey, how many times have you seen it when a family member passes away and the rest of them are just all over the inheritance? And man, the next thing you know, a family that everybody thought was like this, they're not speaking to each other anymore. They won't call each other anymore. They ain't spoke to each other in years. Over what? And how in the world can you think that we can be right with God and not be in a place where we can have mercy? Look, here he says, if you want me to forgive you your trespasses, you got to forgive other people. How many times? 70 times 7. And if you're counting to 490, God bless you. That's all I can say. Make you a little mark, I guess, every single time. But we need to be in a place that we forgive others. Because look at, we go a couple of scriptures down. Blessed is the peacemaker. The one that just says, you know what? I'm done. Say what you want to. You know, I have learned a whole lot of times, if I've got a customer that's being irate, if I've got a discussion with my wife that's getting out of hand, if I just go, okay, I agree with you, and just hush, it's hard for them to argue by themselves. It don't last very long at all. Most of the time I still go on and do what I want to do, but the argument's over. I think I'm hitting some places tonight. But, you know, the Bible says, blessed is the peacemaker. Have you ever known those people that just like to keep stuff riled up? Hey, if you've got 70 friends on Facebook, probably 65 of them is in people that just like to keep stuff riled up. I see people get on Facebook and they just put something just trying to get other people to respond. What in the world? I got enough drama in my life without other people trying to create more drama in my life. I just stay away from it. Blessed is the peacemaker. Are we peacemakers? Sometimes we need to seek a resolution to a problem that provides peace instead of trying to decide who is right. Sometimes it's okay to be wrong. I hardly ever am, so I can't give you a whole lot of advice on that, but that's the way we think. But it's okay to go, you know what? I don't care if everybody in this place thinks I'm wrong. I don't care. I'm going to bring peace. Tonight, how is it with you? Can you sitting right here tonight think of somebody that is, I mean, really and truly, they're so much into you, into debt, that they're destroying your Christian life? That you're holding a grudge against them because, and they're destroying this blessed life that God wants you to have? That they're destroying this happy life? Let it go. I don't know how to tell you to let it go. I don't have a whole lot of advice on that besides pray and seek God and ask God to help you. Or maybe you're one of those people that maybe you've caused the issue. Man, get over it. Go ask for forgiveness and get done with it. Get things right with God. Get things right with other people. You'll be happier. Hey, you want to be happy this year? Be a peacemaker. Have mercy. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I pray that you'll help me, God, to always to have mercy on others in my life, God, to not get to the place to where I think that I'm always right, God, and that everybody else has got to be where I think they should be. But God, yet that I will be in a place that I'm a peacemaker, that God, that I will be in a place that I won't let others, their actions against me control my happiness in you. That I'll be in a place, God, that I can forgive when they don't ask for forgiveness. And God, that I'll be never be the one that is egging it on, or God, the one that is causing the ruckus. Help me always to be pleasing in your sight. And God, help me to always be someone that can point others to the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.